This is Fitzy and Whipper.
Hello, podcasters. Let me cast this pod.
Happy birthday to you.
It's not until October,
no,
mate.
It's Tommy.
Oh, Tom.
Hi, guys. It was yesterday.
Hey, what did Rosemary and Brian give you?
I got a check in the mail.
Oh, yeah?
Did you really? Did it bounce, Tom?
I was going to do something about a check. What was the what's the joke about a check person?
A check
person. They went to the gynecologist?
Oh, yeah. So the joke goes, the lady walks into the gyno and says, have you had a check up here? She says, no, but maybe a Russian and a couple of Germans.
Oh, that's not bad. I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Tom, I'll do that again. Did your check bounce?
Bounce. Now, normally,
my check bounced.
Normally, Fitz and Whipper, I do
bounce
word of the day at this point, but I would like to throw to a very talented man on the Oscars red carpet. Richard Wilkins has got word of the day for
Dickie,
us.
Oh, you there, mate?
Hey, boys, I've just got to go and do another hit back on air. I'm happy to talk to you throughout the morning, but I've got to go.
Okay, mate. Thanks, Dickie.
So
thanks.
He doesn't want to do word of the day.
Sorry, no word of the day.
I'll tell you
today.
What, when I saw your sister go bushwalking, she was bouncing as well.
Oh, that
Hey, how's Jonas, your brother?
My brother's name is Ross.
What's Ross?
And he does not.
Ross Faulkner makes a great footy.
Yeah, it's Ross Faulkner. Yeah, he's fantastic at footballs. Loves the pigskin.
Sorry, now that Richard Wilkins is gone, we don't have word of the day.
No, Richard was meant to, but he just had to go.
Oh, my God. So he just bounced.
Bounce. Guys, got him. We got him back.
Dickie,
red carpet, Oscars. What's the atmosphere down like there?
Hey, boys, I've just got to go and do another hit back on air. I'm happy to talk to you throughout the morning, but I've got to go.
Okay,
so
Dickie, thanks,
no
mate.
No word of the day today.
Sorry.
Dickie, you there, mate?
It's a long way of telling you no word of the day.
He's a busy man. He had to bounce.
Bounce.
All right, coming up on the podcast.
Stuff bounce.
Hey, Shannon Knoll, how about this one? Do you see this? Getting pulled off stage by police. Where was he? Queensland Sandstone Point. Two officers took him. Hands behind the back. Knollsy, does he always perform with his shirt off these days?
Yeah, oh yeah, he takes it off towards the end every time. He's in good nick at the moment.
He's in great nick. He's been in the old pump house, mate, shift and steal. Arms are looking strong. Poor Shannon Knoll marched off. Good news was, it was just a joke for the crowd, guys.
I like this.
Yeah, me too. He's had a bit of a laugh. Now, you know, the other day we were talking to Guy Sebastian because he posted that picture of a policeman in Malaysia holding a guy against the wall and then made a joke about Shannon Knoll being arrested at the Crazy Horse. But he made sure that Knollsy was okay with the pic before he put it up on social media.
You know, it's
so you've got to have a bit of a laugh
about
it.
The other thing I like about this is that there's certain cops out there that you can do this stuff with. They can have a bit of a laugh. And I like this when they go to music festivals and, you know, the cops are, you hear about it, so serious, and they're going around with dogs and stuff like that. I like seeing those videos how cops get in, they get a part of a dance pit, you know what I mean? They start dancing themselves. See?
Yep.
Get involved. You know what I mean? These two young female cops. Knowlesy's asking, can you just arrest me?
Are they allowed to do that, though?
I don't know what the rule is. Because when I've had a day at the races, right, in my past as a younger man, you'd try and do the old, can I wear your hat, mate, and we'll get a photo. Or
well,
can
no,
you get
you
me
can't
in a headlock and we'll get a photo. And they don't do that.
No, well, because I think there's some sort of, like, it's not illegal, but you can't touch their uniform or wear their uniform. So even on Home and Away and shows like that, there has to be something different about the uniform. It can't be a direct replica, so let alone touching the actual one.
Yeah, it's got to be a nurse's uniform.
Yes.
do you think they're not,
or a firefighter's,
are they not
outfit,
real police? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, I don't
remember.
Remember
the girl that ran at the policeman at the races last year and pushed him into the
car?
That
was kind of funny.
I mean, it was funny because it was a girl.
Yeah,
I mean, if a guy did that, he would have
been shot.
Yes.
Unfortunately, there would have been a death at the races, but we can confirm Shannon Knoll is not under arrest, okay? That was all an act and a bit of a play.
Could be good. I mean, Matty DeGroote, you're going to see Knowles, you perform with John Farnham, aren't you?
Yeah, well, of the $170 that I spent per ticket, $140 of it would be for Knowlesy.
Yeah, sure.
So the thought that he would have been behind bars for it was causing great distress.
How many tickets did you buy, mate, at that?
Six tickets at $170. But have a go at the lineup. You got Farnsey.
Oh, no,
you got Darryl Braithwaite, Knowlesy, James Rain, Taxi Ride Baby.
Are you sure? Because I saw
Taxi Ride Baby.
I saw that. I saw the lineup in the paper yesterday. Darryl Braithwaite was not on it.
His dad's pulled out still. Is he still not well?
I saw it in the paper and I thought, oh my God, there's no Darryl Braithwaite. I wonder if the Groot... Oh.
It was on the back page yesterday on the Sunday Telegraph. I agree with you because there was Hot Dub Wine Machine. There was also Midnight Oil and there was the John Farnham one.
Yesterday, Darryl put a photo on Facebook. He updated his profile pic and it was him by a beach. So I thought, great, Darryl's feeling well again. You know, he'll be back on tour. But now you're suggesting he's not there. Taxi Ride's still there, though, mate.
I don't even think they were on the lineup.
Everybody.
They were great. I like Taxi Ride.
Great
the lead singers
song.
Are really
Sing another
good.
Song that they did.
Jump in my cab.
That's terrible. It's terrible.
Start the meter where you're going.
musical theatre.
Why not, sir? What have you got?
This is an interesting case that's going on in court at the moment. It's a trial between Paul Michael Vella and Gary Stoddard, both cops, Sarah. Mm. I'm going to go through. This is what happened. Both were on duty during May 13th, 2015, when the incident that landed both men in court is allegedly to have unfolded. Vella's account is that he was sitting at a computer in the muster room of the Glebe police station when Stoddard, taking a phone call, unsuccessfully tried to sackwhack him as a joke.
Yeah. Can you define a sackwhack for us, mate?
Which the pair would often do with each other.
It's a flick in the ghoulies.
Yes. Well, it's a technique, Sam.
It's the back of the hand, Sarah, and it's a flick into the nether region downstairs of a man.
Sackwhack's back, not right!
Well, it's not right.
Do you have
hurts.
To use your hand, though? I mean, as a kid, we notoriously would, you know, where you swing the tea towel and then whip each other.
You do not do that.
Well, wait there, Sarah, because this is what happened. The sackwack incident happened at Glebe Police Station. Vella told the court he leaned forward and retaliated against Stoddard, who didn't show any immediate signs of injury. It was very light, Vella said. It was just a flick.
Gentle.
But Mr. Stoddard told the court that Vella grabbed his testicles and clenched his fist, prompting him to shout in pain. Mm. There were no direct witnesses to see what had happened. What's not in dispute, though, is what happened afterwards. Experiencing constant pain, Stoddard visited several doctors and eventually he had an agate removed due to a condition.
That's not a medical term.
Not right!
It's not right at all.
So he's just down to the one, is he?
Vella was charged in January last year and suspended from duty. And the sackwack case is currently ongoing at the moment. This is just ridiculous.
That feels like a very extreme punishment for someone for just mucking around in the office. We're notorious for a bit of that sort of behaviour.
Oh, you would never give me a sackwack, sir.
You slap me in the chest all the time.
Oh, what? Man, I never slap you in the chest. Can you please apologise for that great
example?
When have I ever slapped you in the chest?
You do. Tommy, come here. Let me do it on you.
Hit you in the tits.
Yeah, you would.
I would never do that. That's extremely dangerous. I would never, ever do that. And I don't vote for Pauline Hanson like you said last week.
You do.
But go on if you want.
I don't want to keep bringing that up, but you do.
You give me tushy taps, Sarah.
Yeah, but they're gentle and loving.
No.
Hang on a minute.
That's even worse.
That is unbelievable.
No, there was an incident. This is getting serious now. Mm. But Peter Crimmins, who was a great Hawthorn footballer, he got testicular cancer, and they say that it may have originated from a towel flick from Lee Matthews in the change room.
But hang on, is this the same as they used to? Well, we used to get told when we were younger, if you get hit in the boobs playing sport or something, that would lead to breast cancer. That's not true,
isn't it?
A mate of mine was playing football one time with his brother, and he got kneed in the knackers. And then he was on the ground. His brother said, "Get up, mate. Come on, you'll be okay." Anyway, then half-time came and he went off the ground. There was a doctor there who had a look at his testicle and the thing had blown up like you wouldn't believe. They said, "You need to get that drained right now." And went to the hospital. He went to the hospital. They said, "Oh, it's a 10-minute operation. We'll drain it." 2 hours later, he wakes and his mum's crying by the bed.
Aww.
And it had actually, like the one nut, had split in two.
Oh, no.
Like it had been halved. And they removed the entire nut.
But you can still function with one nut.
Yep,
you're
right.
I know a few people only have one.
Just got the one nut?
Mm. Well, just... How many do you? I think the lesson here...
I actually know at least two people.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. I'm not going to name them because
that
would be
mean.
The lesson is here, sack wax, kids, and now just stick with your Chinese burns or your camel bites, crow pecks even to the head, stuff like that, but just no sack wax anymore.
Stay away from it. Real Housewives of Sydney kicked off last night on Arena, guys. Wowzers.
Is there a fair bit of money floating around on this show?
Bit of cash, to me. Yeah, they're spilling a bit of cash, mate. Really interesting. A couple of the girls, I'm not even going to use their names because I don't think you know who they are and I don't have it in front of me. Two of them, their husbands live overseas. They're not even there.
That's
I mean,
perfect.
Josiah, who works on the show, the young good-looking one, you saw that as a great opportunity. So they're still married, but their husbands are away.
Game on.
So,
oh, Josiah.
That was Whipper's words to me. I'm just repeating
it.
Wasn't.
So any girl who comes on this show, just don't give up your address
you
because Josiah will knock
Nicole,
on her door. Which one was
you?
That?
Nicole was one who she just moved back from London. And she left her husband there and said, I'm moving home. And they all said, well, hang on, where's your husband? And she said, no, he's staying over there. We'll go over and visit.
Oh, the beauty queen.
And yes, beauty queen. And
yeah, she was said, like in a pageant or something.
See, unfortunately, these girls watch the American Real Housewives.
Yes.
And like you said, over there, they're actually superstars. People love
hugely
them.
Wealthy.
We don't really accept them as well as they do over in the States over here in Australia, do we?
It would be a big family decision too, Fitz. Like, if you're a wealthy family and someone's approached you for a show like this, I know what my answer would be if I was in that situation. No way.
Well, you are.
So at the start of the show, you've got this tall brunette lady and she's fishing with her son down at Double Bay on the jetty.
Yeah.
Right? Chasing a couple of roughies. Anyway, it cuts from that to her talking about intimacy with her husband and using words I'm not even going to repeat on the show.
Yeah, see, that's a
and
bit
I'm thinking,
weird.
Why is the kid involved and why are you on the show?
Yeah, and you don't want your mum talking like that.
No, you
that
don't.
Kid has to go to school.
Oh. It wasn't until the end of the night where they gathered, how's this? Real Housewives of Sydney, exclusive event, right? Where do you go for a big exclusive event if you got heaps of cash?
Ivy.
Cruise bar where we were for Fitzy's 40th.
Oh. Yeah, they were right. Upstairs in the same spot.
Well, it is one of the best views in Sydney, really, yeah. Isn't
they
it?
They didn't do a shoey out of an Ugg boot, which disappointed me.
Oh, that's,
like at your 40th.
That's where the episode fell over, really.
Oh, Lisa Oldfella's in the paper today.
Oldfield, sorry.
She's married to David Oldfella. And she, in the paper today, they say that she spoke to her son, who's 11 years of age, and she called him a D-head.
She did in a funny way. I agree, don't use the word, but it wasn't in a nasty way. She was sitting talking to the camera, and then she's sort of thrown an offhanded comment, like, keep it down, you little...
Yep, that was thingo. Before she got the snake out and the kids played with the snake they have at home.
Yeah, that was weird.
What's going on, mate? I mean, page through the paper, you'll see her grabbing Melissa Couts on the boob. Which is terrific.
Classic stuff.
Just there. Here's what I found interesting, because there was a fair bit of plastic surgery and a bit of lipo going on. Here was when Lisa Oldfield and one of the other girls, she came in here, Maddie, they were down at the beauty clinic having some treatments, and Lisa came out with this.
I had liposuction on my tummy. It was great. It worked so well. And afterwards, I got to make soaps from the excess fat.
Did you? What did you do with it? Did you give it to people?
Yeah. I mean, it's such a personal gift.
You took fat from your stomach, made it into soap.
Gave
it to people. Merry Christmas.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that unbelievable? Genuine fat from her stomach.
That's what it's made out of, isn't it?
Is that what we're all getting this Christmas from you?
That's
some mean.
You could,
soap.
That's mean, mate.
That's a Christmas bonus for every employee here at Nova.
We would not be able to make enough soap.
Probably Nova Entertainment around Australia.
There would not be enough fat.
We could chuck
to
it
make
smooth
soaps.
As well.
No, we're not. Chocolate festival's now doing soaps, which is weird. Maybe we should take the fat out after the
we
chocolate
festival.
We should
do Whipper on a rope. Oh, I love this.
Do you mean?
Whipper, would you do it?
Yeah. Of course I would.
Good on your whips.
Not having liposuction, Tom.
We have contacts in the plastic surgery arena.
You could do it on my breast first.
No, I wouldn't go there first.
Yeah.
There are other troubles.
If you take fat out,
yes.
Doesn't it then just get deposited in other areas? So, like, you might not get fat around your stomach anymore, but your hands get really fat.
No, what I wanted
you
to
look that way.
Isn't that what happens?
Those abs that you can get permanently put in.
Oh, sculptured, yeah.
How do they do that
again?
Well,
they're not abs. They don't put anything in. All they do is take... You're talking about Darren Lyons, who was on Big Brother. They take the fat out around in the shape of what an ab would look like.
Right.
So they sculpture it and they scrape the fat away.
So you've still got the gut. You've still got the beer gut.
Yeah.
But then, but it's shaped like six abs.
Awful idea.
It's not a bad idea, see.
Okay. No. So Tommy did a bit of inquiring. We'll organise Whipper on a rope. That's the best idea you've ever had.
Love it.
Do you, mate?
Monday, and it is the biggest day of the year in the acting industry. It is the Oscars, and you can watch it live on Channel 9 today from 12:30 p.m. And the man who you always see on the red carpet, and also the author of the book Green Rooms, Red Carpets, Black Ties, and How to Crash an Oscars After Party, is Richard Wilkins. He joins us now.
Yay!
Morning, boys. How are we?
We're good, mate. Set the scene for us. How's it looking over there?
Still early days. Look, you know, when it rains in California, it's the lead story on the news over here, and it rained a couple of days ago, so everyone's freaking out. All the stylists and everyone are, you know, getting new dresses. But guess what? It's a beautiful, glorious day here, and the canopy is here, so it's like a hothouse where you grow your tomatoes if you were lucky enough to have a farm. It is sweltering here.
Yeah, right.
But look, the stage is set. La La Land is the most nominated picture. I love that film. I hope it wins Best Picture. But there are two Aussie movies up for Best Picture, Lion and Hacksaw Ridge. A record Australians nominated, 13 of them. And let's hope we see some Aussie gold. Mel Gibson's up for Best Director. Nicole Kidman's up for Best Supporting Actress. A lot of Aussies in town. It's exciting. The red carpet has rolled out. Everyone's glammed up. It's still a few hours before showtime, but it's exciting. And as you said, it's the biggest day in Hollywood, and it's always very exciting.
Hey, Dickie, you're about 6'4". You're a big man, so you stand out from the other reporters on the red carpet. But how do you get the attention? Have you got a few tips for anyone? How do you get the attention of a celebrity on the red carpet?
Fitzy, I love standing next to you, bro, because I always feel short and stuff. But, I am filled a little bit like Shrek, which does help on a day like today. We've got a pretty good posse. Channel 9, as you said, is the right holder, so they give us a good spot. It's like a walking tsunami of yum cha, you know, where the stuff comes past and the public will say, would you like this? Would you like Roland Fowlwater? Best songwriter for a foreign film? And you go, nah, you know. And then you wait for the porn gouge at the end when, you know, all the biggies come along.
Hey, Dickie, I want you to be honest with us.
Making myself hungry.
I want you to be honest with us. Have you ever slipped your number to a celebrity on the red carpet before?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Can you tell us what it was, Dickie, or is it a bit
of
the
course. Clock? No, in the line of duty, of course. You know, we all at my producer Sarah and I, you know, if the Aussies are coming along, well, I think we've made contact with them all earlier, but sometimes over the years, you know, someone comes along and you go, hey, dude, if you win, you know, we really want to talk to you.
Stop being professional, Dickie. Just give us one celebrity over the years, and I mean, you've been doing it for a long time, that's flirted with you on the red carpet, Dickie. Just give us one name.
Oh, John Travolta, is that what you mean?
Doesn't surprise me for a second, Dickie.
I love John Travolta. He's a cracker.
Well, hopefully you can catch up with him at the after party. Do you know where the after party will be, Dickie?
The after party's at Mario Lopez's place. Everyone knows that. He just walked past me, so I said that. there are parties everywhere, as there always are, because... you know, it's a work night for most people. You know, it's not... I know you blokes would like to think that it's a big-time party night where everyone goes out and gets on it and has a great time, but it's not really like that.
Stop telling us it's work, mate.
Hey, Dickie, just before you go, quickly, the council want to know, have you got two pools at your place?
Can neither confirm nor deny that sort of scurrilous rumour. Thanks for your support, boys.
Hey, have a great night, Dickie. We're going to call you tomorrow for all some right. stories, okay? Stop pretending it's all work, all right?
Not too early.
Get into it, mate. Hand your number out and get us
Love
a story.
You.
When you're one of the best tennis players in the world,
yep.
And you're worth about $150 million like Novak Djokovic is, you get to marry a pretty good-looking girl, Sarah. Her name's Jelena Djokovic. She's Serbian as well. And she gets involved with Novak's life quite a bit in his career.
Sure.
And over the weekend, what was happening is that they were just filming something for Facebook Live. I can't keep up with all these new fandangled things, but they were hanging in there. He was doing a bit of a tennis session, and she was filming at Facebook Live set.
Mm-hmm. How fun!
Yeah. So at the end of the session, he came over and said, "Thanks for watching," blah blah blah, and took the phone off her. But, okay, this is hard to understand because she talks Serbian here, but she wasn't too happy. I'll translate for you at the end of it.
Thank you for watching. I hope you enjoy the...
Kako si ponašaš, majke ti? Hvala, ljubavi, hvala ti, jel tako treba da kažeš?
So she had no idea, they had no idea that it was still going live to air, and she's basically just blew up at him and said, where are your manners? You just took the phone off me in front of everyone.
Don't snatch.
Then she looked down at the phone and went, whoop, we're still going. I just love
this. She's been told.
Have you ever seen, like, you may be at a food court or something like that, and you've seen a couple having an argument before? I mean, it's hard to watch, but it's great entertainment.
It is great. And you're trying to pick up on keywords. You've just got your head tilted slightly, trying to listen to what the fight's about.
Mm.
You wonder where it's going to end up. It's like when you see a couple sitting there and they're not talking. You think, has something gone wrong, or have they been married for too long?
Yeah, where they're both playing on their phones over dinner. Oh, that's awful. God.
Well, the other ones that came out over the weekend is that they thought that, I don't know how they picked this from the photos that I saw, but Buddy Franklin and Jacinta Franklin.
Yeah, apparently they were angry with each other on their way to Hamilton Island.
Buddy was carrying both the suitcases. They were at the airport, and Jacinta was 5 metres in front of him, and they were saying they were having an argument.
Very easy to make it look like through a couple of images that people are having an argument. Oh, their heads aren't facing each other. Just because they're not making out doesn't mean they're arguing.
Do you know when you are having an argument in public and then one of you starts raising their voice, and then you've always got to get someone to go, okay, just keep your voice down. People are looking at
People are looking.
Would you be a public fighter,
You
Fitz?
Would be.
I think you might be because you're also very loud naturally because you're a bit deaf in one
ear.
Because
you're deaf,
Do you know what I do? If I'm not happy, I go silent. BJ's the opposite. She needs to fix it.
So you're passive aggressive.
She needs a solution, but she doesn't really raise her voice. But I get embarrassed when she does raise her voice in public, and then people go, oh, you guys are having a bit of a fight.
Yeah, and there's Frazzy just trying to shake hands and get 20 bucks with photos with fans.
Oh, yeah? That's interesting.
I mean, for the record, you can call me winner any day, mate.
It's your winner.
I get it.
Well, we need a winner today for, oh, that's interesting. It's simple. If you've seen a celebrity doing something completely normal, 13, 24, 10, get involved.
Courtney and Waterloo, welcome to the show. Who did you see?
Hi, guys. I saw Rachel Finch having breakfast at a cafe in Alexandria yesterday.
Wow. It would have been healthy, I would say, Courts.
Yeah, yep. She was having the porridge. That's what it looks like anyway. Okay.
See, do you know, can I just say, when I go and get breakfast, when you go out for breakfast, porridge is not enough for me. No. I don't feel like I've had a meal.
No, I know what you mean. You just want your bacon and your eggs. Oh. Avocado.
Mushrooms.
I want some. Do you know what my dad did it the other day at breakfast? He, you know how they'll have sides, right? And they just list everything. Yeah. Dad didn't have his glasses on. He thought that was actually something you could order off the menu. That was one of the dishes. So he said, I'll have this one here because it's got everything. And they said, that's the sides list.
Oh, John.
He said, well, can I have that on toast then? Got everything.
Well, it would have been tasty.
Scotty and Taramara, who did you see, Scotty?
All right, boys. You will not believe I saw driving down York Street, the one, the only, Johnny Howard.
Oh,
wow. Okay, big lead up, Scotty.
Big eyebrows. What street was that, Scotty?
York Street.
Oh, okay, in the city.
Yep.
What was it? Was he driving himself or did he have someone driving him?
He had someone driving him, but he had this really unhappy look on his face, like the guy wasn't doing a good job.
Yeah right. What sort of car was it, Scotty?
I think it was a Ford Escort or something.
Right. A Ford Escort.
I don't think it was a Ford Escort.
Hard to say. Might have been the old Calais. A car like that or something.
Do ex-prime ministers get a driver for the rest of their lives?
Some of the older ones do. You don't anymore. Or you need to be in there long enough. That's the problem with the prime ministership these days.
Let's go back to Taramara. We got Julie. Who did you see, Jules?
Hey, Fitzy. Hey, Whipper. I saw Honey Badger out at the Waratahs.
Oh, the Honey Badger. He's doing the undies out at the
Nick
moment,
Cummins.
Isn't he?
I know. I had a bit of a selfie with him, and he's such a nice guy. He's having a beer, and I said, do you mind if I have a photo? And we had a chat, and he's just a really gorgeous boy. But I didn't see his undies.
He's a lovely guy. Is he still in good nick, Julie?
He's in very good nick. I had a little bit of a hug with him, and... Yeah, it was firm.
Oh, sounds like you held on for a little long, Julie, there.
Amelia in Freshwater. Who did you see, Amelia?
Hey, 15 Whip, I love you guys.
Love you, Amelia.
I saw Natalie Portman on a flight in Spain.
Wow, okay. Natalie Portman. That's a good spot.
Yeah,
Yeah, I was actually, I didn't see her on the flight, but then we all got off and, you know, you have to get your passport checked.
Yeah.
And she's standing right there.
She's gorgeous. I love her. Yes. What's her best movie? Black Swan?
Black Swan was pretty good.
V for Vendetta. I loved her in that movie as well.
Is she the one we had that bad interview with? I always forget who that
nah,
was.
No, we've never interviewed Portman.
No, that was Naomi Watts.
Oh, yeah. Mm. God, we've done that twice now.
Mel in Ramwick. Who did you see, Mel?
Hey, guys. I saw a massive celebrity on the weekend. You'll never guess who I saw.
Who?
Tom Ivey in Westfield Bondi Junction.
Oh! That's interesting. Tom Ivey!
Boom. Spotted.
Oh, Mel. I mean, it was his birthday yesterday, and we've welcomed anyone to call the show if they've got a question for Tom.
Mel.
I wish I knew.
Yeah.
Was I dressed in something designer, or was I looking sharp? What kind of coffee was I having?
You took my breath away, Tom. I double took, and yeah, it was the highlight of my weekend.
Because you thought it was a middle-aged woman.
That's interesting.
You didn't think it was
a
woman,
did you?
I thought
it was Russell Brand.
Oh, well,
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. Did you notice his pink eye, Mel?
No.
Yeah,
no, it's clear. It's clear. You're doing well, Tommy. Happy birthday again for yesterday,
yeah,
mate.
You guys are the best. Well, thanks for that, Mel. That was really
sweet. Mel. Good spot.
How old yesterday, Tom? 43, 44?
Yeah, 47 now. So
okay. Well done, mate.
Probation
I think Mel should be the winner.
I think that is not going
to
happen.
It's up to you.
No, it's not up to me.
It's up to you.
What do you want to do, Sez?
It's not up to you.
Who? You're looking at Whipper saying it's
up to you. Well, he said it's up to you. It's not up to you.
Oh, it's up to me. Oh, I mean, Natalie Portman is good, but I really think Julie getting handsy with the honey badger.
Well
done, Julie!
Well done, Jules. You're going to gold class. Have you got someone to go with, Jules?
Yeah, I'll take my hubby, buddy.
Good, you can take the honey badger.
Hey, no, take him to go see Lion, Julie. You
so
will cry your eyes out.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, thanks, Fitzy. Thanks, Weather. That's awesome. Wow.
Bye, Joy.
She's an amazing
voice.
She's
been on the
old
helium this morning, Joy.
It's awesome.
She's been on the helium?
No, do you know who we have to get, Tommy? We met a kid the other day, 12 years of age, didn't we, Whip?
Mm-hmm.
He has got the deepest voice I've ever heard in my life.
Love that.
So he was fully matured at the age of 12.
Yep. Sounds like an old radio broadcaster.
Wow. My balls didn't drop till I was about 17.
Okay. Thanks for that.
I was about 9.
Lights, camera, hilarity.
Says it's the talk of the day. It's Oscars Day.
It is kicking off in just a few hours' time. Jimmy Kimmel hosting, Jennifer Aniston, Matt Damon, Ryan Gosling, Salma Hayek. Just a few of the presenters that are going to be involved. It's going to be a huge day. They've got, how's this, 1,400 bottles of Piper, over 2,000 bottles of wine.
What's Piper?
Piper is the champagne.
Right.
10 kilograms of caviar, 8,000 pieces of, they call it shrimp, but prawns. Crab claws, black truffles. It's going to be a big one. Let's just call it decadent. Obviously, everyone is looking for best picture, and La La Land is tipped to be the winner on this one. I'd love it to be Lion, as we've been saying all day. Mm-hmm. It's my new favourite movie, but there's a lot on the line here. Mel Gibson's up for best director, best actor. They're likely to go to Casey Affleck. Nicole Kidman up for best supporting actress, which is fantastic, but she's not tipped to win that one. Someone, though, who won't be showing up who is up for best actress is Natalie Portman, who's said she is now too pregnant to go to the Oscars. Whether or not that's true or whether she just knows Emma Stone is going to beat her remains to be seen. But Natalie Portman doesn't strike me as someone who's petty.
Besides death, pregnancy is the best excuse you will ever have. You into places, get you out of things.
Well, I see Donald Trump's just brought. He's just pulled out of that event that they do where they roast people
as
well.
That's right. He's pregnant.
That's right.
He's pregnant as well.
Yeah, that's what's happened there.
Yeah, I like the article on that where they called him notoriously thin-skinned, which is interesting given how vocal he is to criticise others.
Say Dev Patel.
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm in love with
him. Has he done any other films? Like, what else I've seen him in?
Slumdog Millionaire.
Besides that.
The Marigold Hotel. The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel.
Yeah,
he was
in
both of those. He was in The Newsroom, which was a very popular
Porky's
TV series.
Porky's.
No, he wasn't in Porky's. That's weird.
Okay, Hot Dog, the skiing film, was he in there?
Yep, Caddyshack.
Drama, though, to kick off the day. Obviously, the red carpet. We all love to look at what the women are wearing. Meryl Streep, though, is in a bit of a fight with Karl Lagerfeld, who is the creative director of Chanel. Apparently, she said to Chanel and to Carl, yep, I'll wear one of your dresses. Mm. And when they sent over plans, designs to get them altered slightly to suit her more, her people turned around and said, oh, no, you have to pay for her to wear your dress. So Chanel have got, Karl Lagerfeld has called Meryl Streep cheap. And said, no, don't worry about it.
See, well, mate, if you're offered a frock, though.
This is coming from a bloke who looks like he's just eating a lemon every time you see him.
Yeah,
but these dresses are worth over $130,000.
Don't care, sir. Meryl Streep's won Oscar after Oscar.
Yep. This is her 20th nomination
Do you want her in the frock or not, you know?
Yeah,
Lager.
The dress should be free. You shouldn't have to pay her as give her the dress.
You can take the cat along. He's got a cat, hasn't he, that's quite famous.
So you know what? Get onto a Rachel Gilbert or something.
Like well said,
you
mate.
You know, get onto a proper designer.
Yeah, Camilla, one of those caftans.
Yeah, if but there's that's the thing. Then they have to give her the dress and pay her.
There was a Camilla style on the weekend. We're going to be talking about this after.
Yes, there was, with a bit of scandal.
There was huge lineups for that.
Massive.
Yeah, that was huge. I did see that on the news.
Caftans are in, guys. I've called it.
Really?
Oh, man. Mr. Fashion has
spoken.
You're
like 5 years too late. One of the big things that happens over in Hollywood before the Oscars, though, in the nights leading up to it, particularly the night before it, are Oscars pre-parties. And this one sounds like a doozy. So it was the party for Lion, held by the Weinstein Company. Dev Patel was there, Nicole Kidman, the actual family that the film is based on. So it's a big night. You know, they had people performing. Nicole Scherzinger did the Sia song, which is on the soundtrack.
Yeah, wow.
So it's a big night. In rocks Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Wow.
Now,
boom.
Hang on. They've come in late. So the organizers made the performances start again. Even though everyone else has been sitting there.
Were they supposed to perform?
No, they were there as guests.
Right.
But they've come in late. So the performances that had already happened, they made them start that again. Just for those two. The two of them stayed for 25 minutes, sat in their chairs dancing and looking like they were having a good time. Rumoured, though, two have left because Rachel Roy, who is apparently Becky with the good hair, was also at the party.
Oh, Becky with the good hair. Mm-hmm. You're kidding me. I'm not going anywhere near this one.
I tell you what, I just get so excited when Tommy, our producer, tells us that we're getting this man on. The Bond's Baby Search, that means we get to talk to him every year. It is the beautiful Patrick Rafter. Hello, Patty.
You know what? I don't like when you say that, Fitzy.
Feels weird, doesn't it?
It does. He doesn't say it to you, does he?
No, he doesn't. But you know what I've been wanting to ask you, Pat, and this is really the reason we want you on the show, is just what's the secret to your hair? Because it just gets better with age. I mean, Fitzy's bald and I'm taking Propecia, but maybe it's your diet or is it your backhand?
I got no idea, but I've still got hair and it hasn't gone that grey yet. She's certainly got lots of signs of it, but it's hanging in there and I just can't be bothered cutting it.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It keeps growing, so I don't know what it is.
Were you an awkward teen, Pat Rafter?
Well, I do remember actually having a flat top. I did the Vanilla Ice flat top. I took after about my second go of I took the hair dryer to tennis courts one day because I trained before school. Took the hair dryer to the locker room, had the shower, used the hairspray and went, this is not good.
Can you remember who you took to your formal, Pat? Did you take a date?
Yeah. Took a headmaster's daughter.
Now that's ballsy.
There's a backhander down the line, I tell you.
And that's the first time he ever heard new balls plays. Oh, my God.
It wasn't quite like that, but she was a really nice girl, actually, and she said yes to me taking it, so it was really nice of her.
Pat, you know what's an interesting one with the Bond's Baby Search, right, is that every parent thinks their kid is beautiful and cute no matter what they look like. Like, some kids come out and they look a bit alien, let's be honest. That's life. I mean, they get better with age, but some of the entries must come through, you'd be thinking, wowzers.
Yeah, mate, listen, they've been asked to some really funny ones. And, you know, and I'll back you up there, 50. And my daughter's sitting right beside me right now. She's not well. I'm off the doctors with her. Mm. She was not a good-looking baby.
Yeah, right.
The reality was she came out and went, oh, my goodness, hope she gets a bit better than this.
Yeah.
And thank God she has. But well, they're cute in their own little way, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They're your own kids. Yeah. What's your daughter's name, Pat?
India.
India. Is she in the car now, is she?
She is, but she can't hear you guys.
Right. Okay. Hope she feels better. Can you chuck her on? Can we have a chat to her, Pat?
Wait 1 second. I'm going to put her on.
Okay.
Can you put that
on?
Hello.
Hi, India. It's Fitzy and Whipper. How are you doing?
Not bad.
Not bad. Did you just hear what Dad said about you? Did you understand what Dad was saying?
Yeah, that I was not very pretty baby.
God, that's not too fair, is it? No wonder you're feeling sick.
What's your symptoms today, Indy? You're feeling a bit crook, are you?
Yeah, I just got a really sore throat, and
I reckon you should have the rest of the week off. How does that sound?
We're gonna write you a note. Hey, India, how often does your dad make you sit down and watch some of his tennis games?
I haven't watched any, but I have seen a few when we went to Wimbledon.
Hey, India, as well, just the last thing I want to ask you is, does it get a little bit embarrassing sometimes with your friends at school that your dad's always in his undies on the television?
Oh, at my old school, my friends were saying, I saw when we went to, I don't know, the shops or something, they said, I saw your dad on a Bonds sign or something like that in his undies.
That's what you want. Hey, India, we hope you're feeling better, okay?
Thank you.
All right, is Dad there still?
Yeah, I'll put him on.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, milk it for as much as you can, India.
I'm coming. I'm driving. Yeah. I have my headphones on. I'm ready. I'm back.
Have you still got a minute there, Pat?
I certainly
Look, don't. We just wanted to bring up something that was on the show the other day. We were talking about you. You came up in conversation. Here's what Fitzy had to say.
I saw Pat Rafter getting a juice.
What sort of juice, that's Amy?
It was one of those healthy green ones.
Oh, yeah.
So Pat Rafter.
Fair bit of celery.
Do you know what?
Kale
He's
in
one
there.
Of the greatest guys you'll ever meet,
Isn't
Pat
he lovely,
Rafter?
Pat Rafter?
I would consider myself a friend.
Really?
Yeah.
Very kind words from Fitzy, so we thought we'd play a bit of a game this morning, Pat.
Fitzy!
Yeah.
How well do you know your Pat?
How well do you know your Pat? Because Fitzy will go on like you are best mates. So I just thought we'd run through a couple of questions here to see how well, Fitzy, you actually know Pat Rafter.
I do. Right,
I'll get an answer from Fitzy first and then confirmed with the one and only Pat Rafter. Okay. Very simple to start with. How old is Pat, Fitzy?
Pat Rafter is...
He's on Wikipedia, Tom. Tom, take his phone off him now, quick.
Oh, I would say Pat is 42.
Pat, how old are you?
Yeah, close, 44. That's close enough. I don't think my mates would generally know how old I was.
Ooh, that's and I've looked after you, Pat. I've taken a couple of years off, so All that's right. a good start.
We just spoke to good India. Pat's got another kid. What's their name?
Pact 2?
Is it Pact 2?
Pact to the Rafters?
Yeah. Pat Jr. No, it's Joshua.
Joshua. Yeah,
well, here's an easy one.
India and Josh.
Here's an easy one because you're obviously mates. What's Pat's wife's name?
Oh, don't do this to me.
It's an easy one. Come on.
Oh, gosh.
The beautiful.
The beautiful Jenny. Jenny Rafter.
Jenny Rafter.
Oh, my God.
Is that right, Pat?
Well, it's not. It's Lara.
Oh, it's Lara.
He met her at Sarah Murdoch's
Of course. If it's not the personal life, then you must know this, Fitzy. What year did Pat go number one in the world? What year was that?
I'm going to go with 1999.
Pat, is that correct? Wow.
You are the man.
Spot on. This is so exciting. This is a treat, Sydney. It's not every day you hear a couple of exes catch up live on the radio.
Well, you know what? Another celebrity had to leave the South African jungle last night, and that was Zipporah Malka, and she joins us now. Zipporah, are you there?
Hello. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Fitzy and Whipper.
I thought you may have recognised the voice.
Fitzy
at
and
least.
Whipper, like, is this Fitzy?
Yeah, this is
I'm just
going to
sit this one out.
Yeah, Fitzy. When I first met you, you were just some playing for the Sydney Swans, and I interviewed you for the Myth of the Perfect Woman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you were the cheeky one, and I rang your manager, and I got my people to get in touch with your people. In other words, and said, I want to speak to Ryan. Mm. And apparently you got a bit excited and got a bit dressed up for the date.
Aww.
You thought it was a date. And I said, no, actually, Ryan, I'd like to talk about your television career. And I tried to talk you into going to television. You go, nah, I want to play me footy. And, you know, you were 6'7" and, like, very young, and your bones kept breaking. Like, listen, your bones will keep breaking. You're too young. You're playing too much sport. But you have a career in entertainment. You're going, nah, I want to play me footy. you didn't listen to me for ages and ages and ages, but, you know, finally you've taken my good advice.
Yeah.
doing yourself a favour.
Yeah. No, I do appreciate it. We used to go to the Clovelly Hotel. We used to have a schnitzel and a couple of beers and wines, and you used to tell me about getting into the television career. I didn't believe you. I didn't think I was good enough.
Well, obviously you were wrong and I was right, and here we are. Mm.
So, Porra,
I'm the one that's had to eat in the jungle for the last 4 weeks, and you're the one making what? Close to $1 million a year interviewing
him about it. Hey,
Zephora. So there you go, 50. Okay.
Yes, do you I'll remember going to meet the Fitzgeralds? You went and met Claire and Mick down in Port Nolunga?
Oh, yeah, I love it. Oh, your mum has the most beautiful eggplant. You have the, like, little forks and stuff.
Yeah.
And I loved it so much. And your mum actually gave it to me as a gift. And unfortunately, when I left LA, I had to leave in a hurry because I was zipped off. And my housekeeper loved and cherished eggplant set so much, I allowed her to have it.
Yeah, they were good times.
Thanks, Zephora. Can I ask, was he a good kisser?
Oh, whoa. That's do not.
Good on the lips?
No, I don't think we did much foreplay. I just think we were just when we did it.
So you don't remember what his you don't remember what his moves were like?
Look, I don't know, darling. I mean, I know Pixie's got a missus now, and I just want to send respect to his missus.
Well said, Zephora.
I don't for one second.
Well said. No, well said. Do you think the next stage in my career would be a good move to go into the South African jungle, Zephora?
I think it might kick a bit of humility into you, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, did you
may have grown a bit too big for your boots, because apparently you've been bragging about, you know, me and you on radio. I've heard. Don't you think I haven't heard?
No.
Busy few hours since I've been out of the jungle.
I just feel like I'm getting told off here. I can tell you this. I was
You are being ticked off. Don't you worry. I'm going to visit your mum. I'm going to get some more eggplants, you know, protégé. Don't you worry about that.
She's got plenty of them there.
Your mum in Glenelg, and we're going to have, you know, a few conversations. I'll speak to your missus too. You're very badly behaved, but I've got to wrap it up now. You're not very important. I've got other people to talk to. That's all you've got, okay?
Okay.
And don't mess it up for me and my new bloke.
Okay.
Okay?
Whoa, who's your new bloke, Zephora? Okay. Who's the new guy?
Shush. Now, you just shush. You just shush now.
Not a scratch on Ryan.
You know, it's been 6 years and I've grown over.
We appreciate your time coming on the show. I'm a Celebrity who's back again tonight at 7:30.
Pitsy, darling, I really would hope to, you know, see you, your missus, your kids, and your mum and dad again.
Yeah, okay. You're always welcome, Zephora.
Good to you, honey.
Well done in the jungle. Thank you very much.
Thanks, hon. All right, big kiss. Bye-bye.
Bye. Unromantic dates or unromantic trips away that you've been with your partner. Usually, girls, you can give us a call on this one, 13 24 10, because there's a lot of blokes out there that may, you know, organise something that's not really romantic for the lady, Sarah.
Horse riding always comes to mind.
Horse riding, that's a great idea.
Funny you've brought that up, Sarah, because the reason why I do bring this up, a good mate of mine has brought his lovely wife up to Sydney for the weekend from Adelaide. Ah. The thing was, it was a beautiful weekend because those guys have 6 kids.
Oh, God.
The eldest child is 10 years of age. So. They've got 6 kids under the age of 10.
Wow.
Their life is crazy. They never, ever get to go away because you basically have to split the 6 kids up, 3 to maybe one grandmother, 3 to the other grandmother. It's really, really hard to organise weekends.
Imagine if you want to fly somewhere.
Well, that's right.
Or even if you want to drive somewhere and one of them brings a friend.
Well, you don't bring a friend.
That's multiple cars.
That's never considered. That's a big van, isn't it?
So they decided just to get away. Let's not go away too far because obviously we have to get back to Adelaide at some stage and we have to see the kids and they've got to get back to school on Monday. He brought a to Sydney and took her to Randwick on Saturday to watch Winx race.
Well,
I mean, it's a beautiful horse.
Yeah, it's a lovely day at the races. Gets her all frocked up.
That's true. Does she like the races, mate? Answer this question. Is he a committed punter and it was just his idea of a good day?
Loves his punt.
And it's not her that loves the races.
And I mean, you know what? Yeah. Winx is a once-in-a-lifetime horse. It's like Black Caviar. We're lucky. Sarah, you don't understand how lucky we are to be living in an era where these horses, these dominant horses, are there.
Fitzy, you don't understand how little most of us care.
Do you know what's interesting?
Because
though?
I couldn't give a stuff watching Winx or Blinks or any of the other bloody horses run the track, and it was pouring with rain. If you saw it on the news, that was not a great day out at the races.
You tried to make Gary shut his sports bet account.
I did not make him. He offered up, and I thought that was a brilliant suggestion, but it didn't mean that we didn't spend all of Saturday with me reading a book and him sitting next to me on the couch watching the racing channel.
See, BJ and I, when we go away, we like to surprise each other. So you have to come up with a date, okay? You don't know where you're going, and it could be at a restaurant. And the other thing, you know, we play little games, like I'll order you a cocktail. You've got to try to guess which one it is off the list, all this kind of stuff. Oh, yeah. So, BJ, when we went to New York, which was our favourite place in the world, it was fancy. She took me to this beautiful restaurant overlooking New York, and then she said it was my turn. I was so excited, got ready for the day, jumped on the subway, and we went to the New York Yankees.
That is a great day out, though.
Well, she didn't like it because it went for too long. It went for 3 or 4 hours. Beers were like $12.
I was once.
We were half tanked by the second innings.
Yeah, sure.
And the hot dogs just aren't suffice. Yeah. The nachos
she goes,
are great.
When does this finish?
I was once taken horse riding. It was belting with rain, and I was so terrified because what you love as a kid, you're not necessarily okay at as an adult.
And you know what?
And I was gripping that saddle. My knuckles were bleeding by the end of it, and I was in tears.
And you can't walk the next day, sir, can you?
No. And if you're hoping to go home for a bit of how's it going?
No, you can't.
Your crotch has been
no
whacked,
more riding for you that day.
Do you know what I learned about horse riding the other day? Because, you know, I told you that story about when I was horse riding in the Blue Mountains and the kangaroos were going at it, and all of a sudden the horse bucked, right? Scared the hell out of me. What I didn't realise was, in horse riding, I haven't done any horse riding, the instructor kept saying to me, and on the topics there, make love to your horse. It's not a one-night stand. That was her tip for riding a horse.
Also be gentle and loving.
Be gentle and go with it instead of the jackhammer.
R.I.P. to that horse as well. They had to put a curtain up around it at the end of that ride.
It was traumatised.
It's been turned into,
physically fine.
It's been turned into glow sticks.
Broke 3 of its legs. Its left fetlock was broken as well.
It was a Clydesdale, mate. Called Milko. It was actually called Milko.
Was it?
Yeah.
What, Kate Ritchie's imaginary friend?
Has turned into a horse.
You were riding Kate Ritchie's imaginary friend.
Which is a weird twist on the date.
Your mum walks into the room. Michael, what are you doing on the bed there? I'm just here with Milka. I'm riding Milka.
By yourself again? I don't know. You just can't see them.
Being gentle.
Guys,
making
look,
love.
It's for the best intentions, Sarah. You know what I mean?
It is.
Know what? For us, it's a great day out. It's for me a date at the New York Yankees, or for my mate to go see Winx. It means so much to us, and we want to share those moments with the people that we love, you know, our soulmates.
Not about you, mate.
13, 20, 14, girls, you know, the most unromantic date that you've been on that your partner's taken to. Or it could be a trip away. Where did you go on a trip away? Similar to that one, we want to hear from you. Give us a call. Jenny's given us a call from Blacktown. What happened to you, Jen?
Hi, guys. So I think this will pretty much top the most unromantic date. So what happens is this is my ex-boyfriend, and that's why he's next.
Yep.
So he's kind of into computer games, and he said, oh, okay, you know what? Like, I found this really, really nice cliff, you know, where you can watch the sunset and everything. I'm like, yeah, cool, that. Let's go. I'm really excited. Mm. What he did was take me to the living room. There were two computers set up, so we'll sit in front of a computer each. And there's a little figurine in there, and I sit there on the cliff with him, looking at the sunset on the screen.
You're kidding me.
So you're one of the characters in the game, but you don't actually do anything. You sit on the cliff and watch the sun set while he plays computer games the whole time,
Jen. No. As in, like, we're both sitting on a cliff in the computer game, watching, like, the sunset in the game.
In the living room.
Jenny.
Yeah.
How long did you stay there for?
I said, you know, like, I need some food, okay? And he's like, oh, don't worry, we can get takeaway. And then, you know, this cut down the budget as well for going on a date.
That's unbelievable, Jenny. What a stinker.
See, you know,
that's why he's an ex.
Yeah, tell me about it, Jen.
Guys who are addicted to video games, I mean, what do you do in that situation if you're going out with a bloke like that?
Yeah, see, I reckon I can top her again. And I'll put my hand up and say it was me. Romantic trip to Lithgow. with Bronte. We just started dating, sold it in. Wanted to show her the area, introduce it to a mate.
Where was he?
Lithgow Correctional.
So is this like...
Oh. Took her to prison.
I took her to prison. Took her to prison. To meet a mate.
Come and meet my mates. In the old lockup.
She would have thought, what, for a couple of beers and a wine? What, we're going to get something to eat? A
little
countermeal?
Weekend in the Blue Mountains? No, just...
Yeah,
one stop.
That's good.
There
and back.
That's nice. Not bad.
Just we'll take your ID, register before you walk in. Yeah. Don't make eye contact with anybody, and don't touch anyone. Have a great day. 13, 24, 10. Were you embarrassed by what your parents did as a job growing up? Stories come out overnight, and a couple of people have put their hand up and said, "Let me tell you something." They were embarrassed by what their parents did. One guy's got on here and spoken about how his mum was a penthouse pet.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, that was tough. Obviously fairly innocent when he was younger, and then all of a sudden as he started to grow older with his mates, they started to find out. He goes on to say, every few years conversation would start to fly around the playground and it always ended in a fist fight with him trying to defend his mum.
And also your mates just knocking on the front door to see you all the time.
To see your mum, of course. Oh, there's mum again. The thing was, I mean, it went from a magazine to a movie, unfortunately, Mum. Mm. And then Mum started working in some of the local clubs, if you know what I mean. So when they turned 18, he said that was the worst because my schoolmates started going to the strip clubs and Mum would be there. So they'd turn up to school and say, hanging out with your mum on Saturday night, it was good to see her.
See, that's extreme. I mean, that one's extreme. And 13, 24, 10, if you were embarrassed with one of your parents' occupations.
Yeah.
Because a mate of mine, his dad was the principal of the school.
Oh, that's hard.
And
that's
we would never go around to his house. Because his old man was just in principal mode the whole time.
Yep.
Always judging you, even when you're at home mucking around with your mate, he was always telling you off.
Yeah, that's no fun, is it?
Mr. Cox was his name as well.
Of course it was.
I don't think we had a couple of names for him.
Oh, yeah. the story goes on to say there was another bloke who didn't realise what his dad did for a job, but there was always a lot of videos hanging around. Then all of a sudden, when he grew up and realised what they were, he thought, well, why don't I watch one? It was about 20 minutes into the film where he noticed a tattoo on the main lead actor's arm and realised it was his sister's name in cursive writing. Because that's a tattoo that his dad had on his arm.
Oh, no.
He kept watching to the end of the film and did a review did a review online. That was a tough one. We had a guy growing up and his dad was a clown, which was the occupation.
Yep. Kids' parties.
Yeah, I mean, he was cool when he was young. Everyone would go, oh, how's your dad? I think it was like Andy Pandy or something his name was. Mm. And that was cool because, you know, your dad did the fun stuff. And then it got a bit older and... We ripped into him a little bit. Another guy too, his dad was, a hot dog van.
Right.
And when the hot dog van would come and pick him up from school, that was fun too when we were younger, but then we picked on him a little bit,
Well, see, a mate of mine, his mother was a Jehovah Witness, but the kids didn't really get into the religion. Mm. But it was hard for him growing up because his mum, you'd always get mates and they'd say, yeah, your mum come and knocked on my door on the weekend.
Oh, no.
Trying to give me a couple of... flyers.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't the kids have been Jehovah's Witness first?
Saw your mum with a flyer on the weekend.
Well, she was a lovely lady, but she didn't push her kids into the religion, which I like.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay. I do like that.
That is hard. Door-to-door knocking's awkward, isn't it?
A couple of them later in life have now taken it up and a couple of them haven't.
So they're doing flyers.
Mm.
Okay.
Well, it's a part of the religion.
Yeah, sure. To do flyers.
Or just go around to preach, try to get more people involved into the church.
Shouldn't there be a modern day variation on that? Like, shouldn't there be a text or something?
No,
you don't have to knock on the door?
I remember it happened at my place one time, and it was a father and son. What was interesting, they were Jehovah's Witness. They were both wearing the exact same thing, like a black buttoned up shirt.
Leather jacket.
But then they had like a grey streak in their hair at the front that had been dyed deliberately and was father and son. It was like a mini-me.
That's part of the church.
And then they gave
Jehovah had that.
Did he?
Yep.
And then they gave us the flyers.
And the only way you could witness it is by getting one yourself and going around and showing people by knocking on their doors.
So I've seen it.
You seen my streak?
Oh, dear.
What did you witness? Just the streak in your hair. Have a flyer. Thanks, mate.
Jehovah had one.
Remember the poor guy who came, he got invited in and they fed him some special cookies? Remember those guys? They got arrested. They said, yeah, mate, we're interested.
That's
come and grab a seat at the table. Mm. You're not going to believe it, mate. He's just finished a batch. Why don't you have some of these cookies?
Yep. Poor bugger.
Yeah.
He did clock Grand Theft Auto, though, half an hour later. Fitzy and Whipper. Nova.